and families who follow Jesus. And we read in the 13th chapter of Acts, "In the church at Antioch, there were some prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called the Black, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the governor, and Saul. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to do the work to which I have called them.' They fasted and prayed, placed their hands on them, and sent them off." And verse 13, "Paul and his companions sailed from Paphos and came to Perga, a city in Pamphylia, where John Mark left them and went back to Jerusalem." And then in chapter 15, verses 36 to 41, a little bit more. "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit our brothers and sisters in every town where we preach the word of the Lord, and let us find out how they're getting on.' Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, but Paul did not think it was right to take him because he had not stayed with them to the end of their mission, but had turned back and left them in Pamphylia. There was a sharp argument, and they separated. Barnabas took Mark and sailed off for Cyprus, while Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the care of the Lord's grace. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So just a few insights, a little bit about John Mark, and we'll move on to the PowerPoint if we may. Thanks very much. Okay. Now, as you see this brilliant picture of Ireland, and I emphasise it's Ireland, excuse my Facebook saying it was Scotland, sorry to the Irish and the Scots, you'll see that we're trying to collect some pictures which are to do with pilgrimage, and you may have some pictures that we'd like to use. Who did we say to give them to, Pete? I can't remember. You or me? Yep, okay. So if you've got some pictures that are not necessarily your ordinary holiday snaps, or they might be your feet in a bucket or something, we're quite interested to try and use some of those in our creativity in worship. So Pete or myself. And we've actually been reflecting, as we think about pilgrimage, for a few weeks on the issues that relate to families, to singles, to doubles, and communities of people following Jesus. So you all fit into that category. It's really to do with how we relate together with one another in our following of Jesus. And we've been asking questions like this. How does the company following Jesus grow? Do families help or hinder us? Do family values or traditions clash with kingdom values? Do women and men follow Jesus differently? And all sorts of questions that relate to our working together. I think we can probably have the next slide up if that's okay. Now, it's often said that we choose our friends and we don't choose our families. I want to suggest to you that's only partly true. Because as we grow to adulthood, we can make choices about who we spend time with and whose company we value. And so we should, in many ways, with God's help and our friends' help and our family's help, hopefully, be in control of our lives. And we ought to be those that are drawn, not driven, by the Holy Spirit, rather than just have our traditions and our culture and our families make our agenda. We've said that we're people who say Jesus is Lord and that he will work in our families, but that we should also look to God. Our paths will cross with all sorts of people as we follow Jesus. We will be drawn together with some, and hopefully in our church community, we will have those who we really value and can be with us through thick and thin times. So in these talks, we're trying to reflect on what it means to join together in following Jesus. We're trying not just to take certain things for granted and assume they can't be changed. We're also working on the basis that we can change Our circumstances may not change. The world may not change for the better. But that verse in Ephesians is all about God bringing glory to himself through the church and its display. And in America, that must be a key way through. I have no solutions to America, and many of you travel there, you know, often, and you know it. But we pray for God's people in each situation and for the kingdom of God to come, as we said. So we've been thinking about what it means to link together and to work together. For some of us, I do slip in. That will mean political involvement. Gone are the days where all churches say don't have political involvement. There is a place for many of us to be involved in local politics and in other issues, and certainly taking an active interest. So when we think about following Jesus, we're aware that in the inner circle of the 12 disciples, there were at least two sets of brothers who followed Jesus, James and John, whose mother is also spoken of. Then there's Andrew and Simon Peter, and their mother gets a mention when she's ill. There were husbands and wives who worked together, as well as those who were single for whatever reason. And there were whole households, blood relatives and those that they employed and that were involved with them, who followed Jesus. So in Acts 16, we read of Lydia's household, how they converted. We read also about the household of the Philippian jailer. Jesus spoke a lot about discipleship, and especially that following him will affect our relationships with our families. So you can read in the Gospels, particularly Matthew 10, about the tensions that often arise because of families. And yet we read that Jesus was concerned enough at the cross to make provision for his mother. But often there are tensions. These are key things. And if I were to ask any of you, and you told me tensions never arise in your family and never arise about the issue of what following Jesus means, I would be very, very surprised that you haven't had discussions about your life and what it means. My older brother rang me last night when talking about the health issues I'm facing and wanted to talk about, you know, how much we work for God and do for God and things like this. These things arise, and you will know and experience that, I guess. So families can sometimes hinder our close following of Jesus, but also families can encourage us in our close following of Jesus. And I don't know your family, and families are incredibly complex. They were in the Bible, and they are now. So, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Last week, we thought about Timothy, who had a mother and also a grandmother who were a good example for him to copy and follow. And yet, he had to decide whether he would follow. And we were particularly talking to the youngsters and getting them to think about that. There's no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. We each need to be born as sons and daughters of God. So families, I think, can be a help or a hindrance. Yours may be of a total help to you to follow Jesus. Sometimes also you may have experienced difficulties. I don't think it is on. Okay. This week we look at John Mark and his family. Now, it's not uncommon for first century Jews to have a Greek and a Roman name. So he does. He's John Mark. So in addition to his Hebrew name, he had a Latin or a Roman name because they were an occupied nation. His Hebrew name is shortened in English to John, and his name Marcus is the commonest Roman or Latin name. So like many of you bear an African name and an English name, and other of us have Irish names and English names and so on, he had a name which expressed that he had influences from both cultures. Okay, I've no idea what John Mark looked like, but there's a cool young dude here. Not that I can assess that from my perspective, but I think he is, sort of thing. He looks a fit guy. Okay, slide 3. This is our last one that we're sticking with. What do we know? Well, we know that John Mark is a Jew. He's a native of Jerusalem, and he's a follower of Jesus. So he has amazing cultural influences coming into him in this, for them, a mega city. Here in Jerusalem, his mother is the owner of a significant property. So it's spoken of as Mary's house. She has at least one maidservant whose name is, good Bible scholars, if Henry were here, he'd know. So Rhoda, okay? And we know that because when Peter was released from prison, it is Rhoda that goes to the door and in a panic doesn't open the door but runs away and went, it's Peter! And they went, well, go and open the door. Okay, so we know about Rhoda. Mary's house may have even been the venue of the Last Supper. That is a possibility. It was certainly a centre of action for those who were following Jesus and then the Jesus mission, which began and continues to the day. In Mark's Gospel, which we believe this John Mark wrote, a young man is spoken of who flees naked in the garden after the arrest of Jesus because his linen sheet or coverall is taken from him. He was probably terrified that he was going to also be arrested. So this is John Mark. What is important to see in the Gospels and in the Acts, the first 30 years of the church, and in the histories of the day, is how the houses of the followers of Jesus are so significant in the ministry of Jesus, and that the growth of the early church was dependent upon the use of houses and dwelling places, not just for the shielding and the hiding of believers, but for people to meet. And it would be so much better for us if the centre of our mission was 7 days a week from the places where we live and work, and that we don't see it just coming from church buildings that we attend for a few hours a week. The church grew from house to house, and that will happen increasingly, and it must happen in our own experience. It's something for us to really think about. As you know, I'm on the board of a charity called Mission Housing Association, which has helped the E123 partnership set up two houses, four churches working together, one in Stepney and one in Bethnal Green. And that is a response to the need to reach out to people with the message of Jesus and an acknowledgement that people cannot afford to rent or to buy in Bow, Bethnal Green or Stepney. And so the church, as well as other community organisations, is being denuded of participants and volunteers. And we could be left with cities without people who are concerned for their community, and certainly without followers of Jesus living here, unless they are incredibly wealthy, unless they're like Mary's house. And thank God we have some of those. But Mission Housing has sought to do that, and we actually have just 50 groups of people, some singles, some in intentional communities, in properties around London. And we're not the only ones doing that. And things are happening, preferably on some of the hardest to reach closed estates and also some of the simplest and oldest estates. I can't overemphasize the importance of being willing to use our homes in the mission of Jesus. And that is easier for some than others. Some people, they're not all believers in their house, and so that's not necessarily possible. But for John Mark, he was able to witness in his home Christians coming together, praying together, eating together, having fun together, I assume, as well as serious and solemn discussions. And all the more important when they were excluded from temple and from synagogue. So, John Mark and his family, his household, are involved in the Jesus mission. Mary, his mother, is only mentioned, or this place, in some ways, once. We know very little about which Mary she was and what was really happening, but she was another of those wealthy women who supported the Jesus mission. John Mark's father is not mentioned, so we assume that she is a widow, as the home is called Mary's house. It's used as a base for prayer. They're praying for Peter's release in prison, for example, and a place of shelter for the church. As Peter leaves prison, it is to Mary's house, we're told in Acts 12, that he goes, because he knows that's a regular place where the church meets. And Mary is spoken of in connection with what happens in her house. She may not have been at the front of certain things, but it was a significant ministry of change. She's the aunt, or the sister, Mary is, of, anybody know? Have a guess. Who was the wealthy Cypriot that sold his, Rosemary? Right, of Barnabas. He's a wealthy property owner. He sells his property in Cyprus when there's a need within the church, and he did that willingly to meet the needs of the early church in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was originally the base for sending people out for mission. It was Mother Church, but the base extended to and moved to another hub for mission, which was near the coast and reached into different parts of the world as they were commanded by Jesus, and that was Antioch. And so they were both centres for mission. Mark, John Mark, is described as Barnabas's cousin in Colossians 4, and this explains, no doubt, Barnabas's desire to get John Mark into active mission. How do you relate to the people in your family? Your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, your children. What is your hope for them? Now, we pray for happiness, hopefully in a Matthew-type understanding of happiness, of what it is to be blessed, not in the world sense. We pray for them to be happy. We often pray for them to be healthy. But our biggest prayer when we dedicate ourselves to raise our children and pray for our godchildren and all these is that they may come to know Jesus Christ for themselves, because in that they will discover life in all its fullness. So what part do I play in praying for children, some of whom may have walked away from the good news of Jesus at the moment, nieces, nephews, godchildren, others we pray for? Are we like Barnabas was? You know the word means he was an encourager. Are we like that? That's a big challenge, I think, to us, particularly where family is threatened and we often don't have time, some of us, with family. So some of us may have too much time with family, others of us maybe not enough. And we've got to get that balance, as God tells us, right. How much time we spend with our children and so on, nieces and nephews, is an important issue. But Barnabas is obviously an encourager of all sorts of people in the church, and that included his young cousin, or second cousin, we're not quite sure, John Mark. And he's keen. So he actually takes John Mark along on a trip, the first trip to Cyprus, where they obviously have family and friends. Now, he probably said, well, we're going on a mission trip, but it's to family and friends. It's to Cyprus. I want you to see the place from which I've come. He was a Levite who'd obviously bought an extended property, which Levites weren't necessarily meant to do, but there you go. And he took him along. John Mark, as I said, is traditionally seen as the author of the second gospel, Mark's gospel, and he becomes known as Mark the Evangelist, although he doesn't have a very good beginning. And lots of us have false starts. We make mistakes. We let others down. There's no support for the tradition that he founded the church at Alexandria, which is mentioned in Eusebius, but certainly that he is an evangelist. And he appears to have stayed at home in Jerusalem, which, if he had the equivalent in his day of a beautiful home in Jerusalem and a mother that cared for him, doesn't surprise me. It must have been, in many ways, a very privileged upbringing. And he was probably, we assume, close to his mother. Barnabas and Paul come back from a relief mission to Jerusalem, and they take him to Antioch, which, as I've said, is an important base. But since John Mark has no father, Barnabas becomes his encourager. And many of you have people that mentor your children. You act as a mentor to others, but he acted as a mentor and encourager, showing him Cyprus. We believe that he was therefore on a training mission, that he was there to learn and to help. And lots of youngsters experience that. And if we can give them those experiences ourselves as junior helpers in mission and in different activities, that really, really will help them in many ways. But at Perga in Pamphylia, on the mainland of what we then called Asia Minor, John Mark deserted them effectively. That's how Paul felt it. And he went home to Jerusalem. You may remember that in March, Jeff spoke to us about this. He did a talk about pilgrims performing poorly, those who made mistakes. But actually, he showed in his talk how he ended up well, because he changed. Paul refused to take John Mark with them because he'd let them down when they went on mission again. Instead, he took Silas, but Barnabas gave John Mark another chance, took him back to Cyprus and on in mission with him. You may know, I'm sure, however, that Paul later gave him another chance. Even Paul gave John Mark another chance. In Colossians, he is in the company of Paul, who is in prison in what he calls Babylon, probably his name for Rome. We know that Mark may have written his gospel while he was in Rome. We're not sure. We know also that Peter comes into the picture as another older disciple, and that he was very close with John Mark. And John Mark probably told people like Peter extra bits to the story, from his perspective, the story of Jesus. And in 1 Peter, he calls John Mark my son, Mark, the same as we heard last week when Paul said of Timothy, he is my son. This is very important because it reminds us that we have a spiritual family that can become at least as strong as our blood family. And that for John Mark, his spiritual family, there was a big overlap. And that can produce tremendous tensions. I imagine in America, our American friends, particularly the Republicans that we've talked with, are utterly stumped in the way that you so powerfully described. I mean, utterly stumped. And even with the third and the fourth candidates, utterly stumped. And I imagine many families talk. My older brother phones to see, well, what about the Corbyn crisis here? Because we have a crisis as well, with no opposition and a Labour Party, which is as it is. And these things come into our families. And people can be torn, and we have to make choices. My understanding is if we seek the kingdom of God and to do what is right, then in all our dealings with our families, things will work out for God's best, which may mean there are times when we are criticized for being too involved in the church. And there may be times when we have to correct and spend more time with family. But what we do is to seek the kingdom of God, which is in Jesus Christ, and to do what is right. And sometimes we have to say to our families, that is not the way I am going to live. And sometimes our families will correct us and say also, but if you're a believer, why are you not doing this? So I'm not saying it's easy, but I believe we steer a route as pilgrims by actually going to God and seeking to follow him. So we don't know how big a struggle it was for John Mark. But he did mature enough to leave his widowed mother Mary and his large home in Jerusalem. And maybe later on he had to spend more time with her, we don't know. Probably it was the encouragement and help of his cousin Barnabas that he did get the strength to do this. So tensions can arise. There are times when people involved in mission, cross-cultural mission, can leave their home, and other times they have to be at home. These issues arrive. The tension is how we honour father and mother and honour family, I believe. And Jesus made great commands about this. But he also said to go into all the world and to make disciples of other people. If you just stay at home and with your own family, how will those here who don't yet believe? So sometimes a comfortable home and family life does blunt our mission. Jesus recognises these tensions and family responsibility if we have a look at what is in the gospel. But he, remember, rebuked the Pharisees for the sin called Corban. They were saying the promise is not Corbin, Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N, which is an Aramaic word. He said the Pharisees were using the oaths they made to God and saying that belongs to God and didn't look after their families. And he said, you do need to honour your families. So Jesus knew all about the tension. John Mark and also us have family responsibilities, but we must not neglect what God has called us to do and what we have promised to do. We need discernment and determination. And as I listened to Wano lead the prayers, I thought more and more, we need discernment and determination. We do not know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with cries and groans that cannot be uttered. We need discernment. To finish, Barnabas, the cousin of John Mark, was an encourager to do the kingdom business, the Jesus mission, to do the right thing. And the mission of the church would have been weaker without John Mark. If John Mark had stayed at home, the mission would have been weaker. Barnabas had even encouraged Paul in his earlier life. He took him to Antioch. And Barnabas kept on insisting that they didn't give up on John Mark. He encouraged John Mark to make the breakout of his narrow family and his comfortable home. And he did that. Now, we don't know all that happened later. Later, Paul himself benefited from an older John Mark. He asked for John Mark to come and keep him company and to help him when he was in prison. Paul called him his co-worker in Philemon. He had become a trusted, reliable man who was not afraid to travel. Paul encourages him to keep on missioning. Keep on going out, talking with people about Jesus. Keep on missioning. I think we should perhaps be still and quiet, and then we will take any comments people want to make, any questions, any prayers or scriptures or exhortations they want to bring. But perhaps they may well focus on this tension that we often have between respecting and honouring family and actually following Jesus into the world and making disciples. So let's be still in our inner selves for a moment, and then we'll just bring any contributions, whether prayers or words of encouragement or statements. Let's just be still. We're part of a company of believers, and that each has a part to play. And we pray that we may listen to your Spirit as we listen to one another. For we with Paul believe together we have the mind of Christ. Lead us into the whole truth, we pray. Amen. Let's just continue.